This morning we're continuing in our series in the Psalms, and we're looking this morning at Psalm 48. So if you'd like to turn in your copy of God's Word to Psalm 48. Listen now to God's word. A psalm of the sons of Korah. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. His holy mountain, beautiful in elevation, is the joy of all the earth. Mount Zion in the far north, the city of the great king. Within her citadels, God has made himself known as a fortress. For behold, the kings assembled. They came on together. As soon as they saw it, they were astounded. They were in panic. They took to flight. Trembling took hold of them there, anguish as of a woman in labor. By the east wind, you shattered the ships of Tarshish. As we have heard, so we have seen. In the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, which God will establish forever. We have thought on your steadfast love, O God, in the midst of your temple. As your name, O God, so your praise reaches to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is filled with righteousness. Let Mount Zion be glad. Let the daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgments. Walk about Zion, go about her, number her towers, consider well her ramparts, go through her citadels, that you may tell the next generation that this is God, our God, forever and ever. He will guide us forever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray and ask for his blessing. O Lord, our God, we thank you and we praise you for your word to us. We thank you for your salvation and for the word that speaks of that salvation. We pray, Lord, that you would speak to us through your word now. I ask, Lord, that you would guide my words, that you would give me your strength and your power, that through me, Lord, you might proclaim the message that you indeed are our strength and our tower, our sure foundation. And I ask these things in the name of Christ. Amen. Everybody wants security. We all want to be safe. And that's why we put alarm systems in our houses. We have locks on our cars. We build fences, nations, assemble militaries to protect their borders, because we want to be safe. About 10 years ago, I was in Greece. My grandparents took our family to Greece to visit some of the New Testament sites there. And when we were in Corinth, we went up to this old city that was built on top of a mountain. It was a fortified city there on this mountain that was about 1,000 feet high. It was surrounded by thick walls at the top of this mountain. The only way to get into that city was to go up a small, winding, steep path that took you to the gate of the city. And I imagine that those who dwelt in that city felt secure. No enemies could come and besiege them on the top of this, what seemed like an impregnable fortress. And in fact, no army successfully in the history of that city successfully mounted an assault. The city was eventually captured through being starved, through a through a siege. But while the people were in there and while they had food provisions, they could not be attacked. And in their psalm this morning, we're told that the city of God is an impregnable fortress. That when you are in that city, you cannot be shaken. You cannot be taken by any enemy. And this is the message and the comfort of this psalm. So this morning, we're going to look through this psalm. I'm going to look at three parts. First, we're going to look at the city of God as God's dwelling. And then secondly, we're going to look at God's deliverance for those in a city. And thirdly, we're going to look at the response of doxology that comes from God's deliverance and his dwelling. If you want a different acronym, maybe this will stick in your mind. You can think about it as God's presence, his protection, and then our praise. So first, the city begins as a praise of the city of God, in praise and celebration of the city of God. The city of God is Zion. Now, what is Zion? Well, Zion was the city of Jerusalem that was built on top of a mountain, and it was called Zion because it was the place where the people knew that God had come to dwell with them. In the middle of the city was the temple, which contained the Ark of the Covenant, in which represented the throne of God. So the people of God, as they came into the city, they knew that they were coming into the dwelling place of God. And the mountain on which it was built, the city of Jerusalem, was known as Mount Zion. Mount Zion is called here in the first few verses of the psalm, it's called the joy of all the earth. And why is it the joy of all the earth? Because it is God who dwelt there. You know, peoples in the ancient world, when they wanted to draw near to the presence of whoever they believed to be the deity, they found a high mountain because they understood, everybody understood that God is in heaven. And so in an attempt to draw near to him, they would go to a high mountain and they would often build a temple there. But the temples and the mountains that were set aside by the peoples in the world, by the nations, were temples built to false gods. But the true and the living God came to his people. He led them out of Egypt and he brought them into the land of Canaan. And he set his temple, his tabernacle and temple, on the mountain in Jerusalem. And so the people in Jerusalem knew that the living God dwells with us here. And the psalm reminds us that God is drawing people from every nation to him. And as he opens the eyes of people to recognize that he is the true God, they rejoice that God has come to Mount Zion because they can draw near to him. So Mount Zion is the dwelling place of God. But the earthly Jerusalem was a shadow pointing to the heavenly Jerusalem. As you know, the people of Israel were exiled, were taken out of the land. The temple was destroyed. And so you might look back and think, well, did God's dwelling cease to exist? Well, no. Mount Zion now, and even then, was always a shadow pointing to the true heavenly Mount Zion. In fact, we see that in verse 2, when we're told that Zion is the joy of all the earth, Mount Zion in the far north, the city of the great king. The far north. The far north was an expression to refer to the heavenly dwelling of God. And you can see that in Isaiah chapter 14, when we're told about how Lucifer, the son of the morning, sought to exalt himself above God in the city of the far north. So even in the psalm, we're reminded that the earthly Jerusalem, right, there in Israel, modern-day Israel, was simply a shadow pointing to the Jerusalem that is above. This is what Paul speaks about in Galatians chapter 4. He calls the heavenly Jerusalem the heavenly Jerusalem the Jerusalem above. In Hebrews, we're reminded that as Abraham was brought into the land of Canaan, he was seeking the city whose builder is God, whose founder is God. And Jesus Christ built that city, himself being the cornerstone. And so when the writer of Hebrews speaks to us in chapter 12, he says, "You have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, the innumerable gathering, a festal gathering of angels and the souls of those made perfect by the blood of Jesus Christ." So God dwells in Zion. What makes Zion so wonderful? It's that God dwells there. And I want you to notice the way that the city here throughout the psalm and God are used interchangeably. Verse 3, as the writer describes the architecture of the city, he says, "Within her citadels, God has made himself known as a fortress." He doesn't say within her walls, God has shown how thick the walls are and how safe the walls of his city are. Oh, that's true. But notice how he says he has made himself known as a fortress. God is the fortress. And Zion is a safe place because God is there. And if you are in God, if you dwell with God, then you are safe. And Paul writes in Colossians, if you have been raised with Christ, then your life is hidden in Christ with God. So if this morning you have faith in Christ, then you are dwelling in God. You are in God and you are safe. So Zion is the place of God's dwelling. And so when you are in Zion, you are with God. When you are in God, you are safe. And that brings us to the second point, that when you dwell with God, then you are safe because God is a God who delivers his people. In the presence of God, there is total protection. The writer describes in this psalm this scene. It says, "For behold, the kings assembled, they came on together." He's recounting a time when the people of God were in the city and they were surrounded by kings who had come to storm the city of God, to storm Zion, to dethrone the king and to remove his people. But look at what happens in this passage. The people are delivered from these enemies. But I want you to notice how this deliverance is described. The people, the kings, come together, but no sword is brought against the people. Because when the people come, they see God himself, they tremble, and they flee. That's amazing. As soon as they saw God, they saw the majesty of God, they trembled and they writhed in anguish like a woman in labor, and they flee away. There's this is an amazing description. you're probably familiar with Julius Caesar and his famous saying, I came, I saw, and I conquered. Well, here we have the same kind of this same kind of description, but the kings who come against God, it says they come, they see him, they tremble, and they flee. We came, we saw God, we trembled and we fled. And then he describes here how God achieves his victory in a way that keeps his people safe. Notice that the people who are in Zion here in this passage, they don't simply survive the battle, but they remain untouched. And that's what the Lord is trying to say here. When you are in him, then it's not just that, well, you'll eventually survive. You're going to get wounded and beat up, but God will somehow pull you through. It's that when you are dwelling in God, you will not even be touched by his enemies. Now, this is describing perhaps this psalm may have been written. It's describing a historical event, but it may have been written on the occasion of a deliverance of God. There are several such occasions recorded in Scripture, which seem to fit this description. One is found in 2 Chronicles 20, where Jehoshaphat is the king, and the kings of Ammon, kings of Moab, and the kings of Seir all gather together, and they come to Jerusalem to capture it. And as Jehoshaphat is looking out on the plain below Jerusalem, he's looking at this horde of forces, he begins to become anxious and to be fearful. And he prays to the Lord, O our God, we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And then the Lord sends him a message. And he says, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's. And then he tells Jehoshaphat to take the army and the singers and to go out. And Jehoshaphat takes the army the next day and goes down into the valley with the priests and the singers going ahead of them, singing, the steadfast love of the Lord endures. And as they come out, they come to this remarkable sight. The armies have fled, and they've left behind a strewn mess of dead bodies. They had panicked because the angel of the Lord came, sent them into a panic, and they began to fight each other. You can imagine the joy of the people. We have been delivered. And so they break out, perhaps, in this very psalm here. O Lord, as we have heard that you are a protector. We have heard that you are a deliverer. And now we have seen what we have heard. This reminds us that God continues to deliver his people. God's people continue to be safe as they are in him. As we have heard, so now we have seen. But be assured, as you have heard about the protection and the presence of God in his word, as you hear about in this psalm, so you will see his protection and his deliverance. And that's what leads the psalmist to break out and to call his people to rejoice in praise. God's deliverance results in doxology. God's protection calls us to praise him. And that's what we've seen in verses 9 through 14. Let the daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgment. Let Mount Zion be glad. Now, perhaps you are here this morning and you recognize that you are surrounded by enemies. Perhaps you are anxious about the prospect of circumstances that you're facing. You know, we have We have real enemies. You have real enemies. There are principalities and powers that are arrayed against Christ and against his people. We see throughout Scripture, Psalm 2, the kingdoms of the earth, they gather together to make war against the Christ. We see in the Revelation that that Satan in his fury, because he's been cast and knows his time is short, is seeking to harm Christ's people. Sometimes the enemy is on the inside. It's your own flesh and your own sin. But God is the deliverer. Remember Jesus when he was on earth, as he encountered people who were tormented by demons. Here's Jesus, the great king. And these demons, they see him. They simply see the Son of Man, the Son of God, Christ. And they tremble. They begin to writhe. Well, Jesus, what do we have to do with you? Depart from us. Have you come to torment us before our time? Please send us away. They tremble at Jesus, and they depart from his people. Sometimes God's people are assaulted by the enemy within, by the flesh, and by sin. But as we heard this morning, Jesus Christ triumphed over that sin. He put it to death on the cross. He has delivered you from the power of sin, from its penalty. And he will deliver you completely from its presence. When you grasp that, then you praise the Lord and you can be glad because you know you are safe in Jesus. And perhaps this morning you're thinking, well, okay, I know intellectually that God is a safe tower, that he's a strong tower. I know that in Christ I am protected, but I still get anxious about the enemies I see out there on the plain. I still get anxious about the circumstances I'm looking ahead at. What do I do? Well, the psalmist speaks to you here. He says, meditate on the Lord. Meditate on his strength. Meditate on his protection. At verse 9, we have thought on your steadfast love, O God, in the midst of your temple. The people came together to the temple. Now remember, the people knew that God's ultimate dwelling was in heaven, but God gave them an earthly temple that they could come to and be reminded of his presence with them. What was in the temple there? The Ark of the Covenant, right, where the Shekinah glory dwelt. So people came to the temple and they knew the Lord is with us. And they thought about that. What does that mean? That means we can't be harmed. What else was in the temple? The altar. And as they came before the temple, they looked at the altar and they remembered, God has provided the sacrifice. He has cleansed us. We don't have to tremble. God is with us. God loves us. God has shown us his steadfast love. And that's why God's people gather together on the Lord's Day. That's why you come here. That's why we gather. We gather here to remember God's deliverance, to remember his protection, to meditate and think on his steadfast love. As we take the Lord's Supper, we meditate and we remember God's deliverance. We remember that God is with us. So meditate on the Lord. But brothers and sisters, don't just meditate this morning and then go home and think about all of your anxieties. Go home and meditate on the Lord's strength, his power, his protection. his presence. And that's why verse 12, there's this call. Walk about Zion, go around her, number her towers, consider well her ramparts, and go through her citadels. Right? This is an invitation to all of God's people to come and to meditate on him. As we were reading this morning, hearing the description of the heavenly Jerusalem there in Revelation 21, we're looking at the city of God, the glory of the city of God. We're meditating on it. As you look at the cross, you meditate on God's steadfast love. You see God's steadfast love. As you look at his cross and his resurrection, you meditate and you see his victory. And you're reminded, I am safe. As you read through the stories of God's deliverance of his people, you remember that God is the one who keeps his people safe. So meditate. Meditate on God's presence, on his protection, on the glories of his city. But finally, this psalm reminds us, not only to praise God for his presence and his protection, but to proclaim him. Consider well Zion, consider her ramparts and go through her citadels, that you may tell the next generation that this is God. Parents, that's what you do on Sunday morning as you're driving home from church. You say, do you know why we were taking the Lord's Supper? Because Jesus shed his blood to deliver his people from sin. Jesus shed his blood and died on the cross to put the enemy of sin to death. Jesus died on the cross to triumph over God's enemies. And God is with you. When you embrace him by faith, he is not only with you, but he is in you. Think about that. Right? Proclaim that to your children. Because how is it that you come to dwell in God? How is it that you come to dwell in God's heavenly city? It's the same way that Abraham got there, through faith. Through faith in him, through faith in his son. But how can they have faith unless they hear? So we proclaim God to our children so that they might believe. And we proclaim God to our neighbors and to this world so that they might too believe. They might come and stream into that heavenly Zion, that the heavenly Zion and the God who dwells there might be their joy too. So rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice that you are in Christ, that he dwells with you. You dwell with him. Rejoice that he is the deliverer, that his presence protects you. You will not only survive, but you will not be harmed by your enemies. And meditate on that. Praise him and proclaim it to the next generation. Let's pray. O Lord, our God, we rejoice with the psalmist that you indeed dwell with us and that in Christ we dwell with you. And we pray that you would help us to remember that even this week as we look out and we see the enemies on the plains, to remember that you are a strong tower, and let us rejoice and be glad as we see your deliverances, as we see your salvation. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.